asking.
Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you October 21st, 2017. Thanks so much for tuning in here at RenegadeBroadcasting.com, and please check out all the great shows here on the network. Also, go over to RenegadeTribune.com. I know some people are having trouble with the sites this past week. Well, we've been under attack for over a week now. Actually, this is the seventh day here, and it's been relentless. I can't tell you too many details about it, but the attack was absurd. They're pulling out all the stops to try to shut us down, it looks like. Or maybe it's just people trying to make some money, doing some coin mining operation. The whole entire web right now is pretty chaotic. I'll say that. There is a lot of stuff going on, and I think it correlates to this whole Bolshevik Revolution 100-year anniversary. I really do. You see all of this talk about needing to shut down extremists on the web. Oh, and the DHS chief talking about how after Charlottesville, we've got to just really rethink it all. So what I'm trying to say here, everyone, is if for some reason we do end up going down, oh, it won't be without a fight, you don't necessarily need me. You don't need me. Just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you can no longer get to Renegade for some reason. Keep going and doing what you need to do. Don't let some of your favorite sites going down get in the way of our struggle. You don't need central leadership. You don't need entertainment, because that is often what is provided. We are in the business of, it's not really a business, we are helping to keep people sane, to motivate, to educate, but sometimes it really is just entertainment. We are social creatures, and because many of us have been outcast from the regular society, well, it is very pleasing to be able to converse with other people who share our feelings, who have a similar vision for what we need to accomplish. And it is when we are working together, even if we are not in communication, if we have the same vision, the same goals, we are always working together, then we are much more powerful that way than if we are just individuals with our own little selfish wants and needs. And that's what Renegade is here for, is to connect people. I hope you're not just dependent upon internet connection, though, or cell phone connection. All of these things can go down. We need deep, fundamental connection, reliable connection, underground connection, like the roots of trees. That is what the roundtable is here tonight. Oftentimes, you've got some strong individuals, right? On a team, Let's say you've got some star players, but when you've got people working in concert, when you've got that synergy, when you've got synchronicity, well, then the sum is more than just the parts combined, right? We are able to be much, much stronger when we have combined willpower. And that's one of the themes I'd like to discuss here with our roundtable tonight. First up, I'll introduce Bill, and then we have the Veganator to bring on. This should be a very good show, everyone. Bill, thanks for joining us here.
Hey, no problem, Kyle.
Well, anything that you would like to add to my intro there about, well, the need to not always rely upon these communication systems that we have currently, but to also find ways to connect and work together to have the same goals so that we can, well, be powerful like our enemies are powerful. They have a collective vision and will, whereas we often do not.
Yes, that is very unfortunate that they seem to they have that level of overhead. They have that much influence over us, but I like to think that, we are spiritual wolves. We are predators, and they are the shepherds guiding this flock. Okay? And they fear us. They do. They absolutely. They don't like us because we don't fit into their equation. They want the wolf to lie with the lamb, and that is not what we are about. Now, as you mentioned, it may get difficult. The future is uncertain, and sites may shut down. Now, I don't know how difficult it may get, but I know that we are aligned with what is natural. We love what is nature. And I believe that in the long run, we will be successful in some degree or another. I know that they aren't. They won't be because they are artificial. They are anti-nature, and that will probably ultimately be their undoing, though, well, if things might get ugly, but I know that we are on the right.
Bill, I want to correct my quote, or the it was from Aristotle, and I got a little bit wrong, of course. The
Hey, I
whole
get
is,
things wrong all the time.
yeah, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and I believe that is correct. That, well, it's not always the case when you have weak links, right? A weak link
Yes.
can destroy all of that synergy, all that synchronicity we were talking about there. And you've got the whole class or the whole team dragged down by one person who is either intentionally or unintentionally sandbagging, essentially. Well, let's bring on Veganator here and see what's up with him. People have been asking for Veganator. We haven't heard from him in a while. So, Veganair, welcome back to the roundtable.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming through just a
Yes.
little bit loud on my end, if you might be able to adjust your volume
Okay,
down.
I'll move back from my mic. Yeah, what you're talking about earlier with this, the cracking down on the internet through the Bolshevik Revolution anniversary. The only thing I could think about is how, the news media outlets as to how they're controlled by Jews as to how they keep propagating this notion about how Russia is interfering. Like first it was with the elections, and now it's with, the alt-right and other things as to how they're pushing like to change America. I forgot what the latest one was. They were blaming it something, oh, with like North Korea or something. I think they're saying they're intermingling with North Korea's information and flow. It's always trying to pin, different people as the problem instead of, the Jews. Because like when they say Russia's intermingling, it goes back to the Jewish Russian mafia. Shabbat Ludovitch, I think it's pronounced, as to
Chabad.
how they are the ones that are intermingling with our elections, our systems, the news media outlets, and all this stuff. And like what you're talking about, how they're attacking your website and stuff, they're trying to limit the flow of opposition information out there because, as they stated before, the best way to control opposition is to lead it. And that is the biggest thing that they want to control, is the flow of information along with, you know, our government, our money supply. Because once they control the flow of information as to how they've been rewriting the false histories of the past to this very present day, like most notably, just to sum it up in short summary, like they say that the injustices, inequalities that Black Lives Matter is protesting is a peaceful protest. It is not. It's violent. It's vicious. It's full of hatred, anti-white propaganda. And it goes back to like when MLK was protesting. Even back then, they say that they were violently race rioting, but they will always say that, oh, it was peaceful protesting against the injustices, when no, it was lies. And it goes to the same thing today. They lie to demonize, denigrate, and destroy our movements, our legitimate talking points, grievances, concerns, and interests, in order to psychologically make us feel that what we go out in the streets and talk to others is a waste of our time, our effort. And what people have to understand is that they are using the full force of everything that we have created, our government, our technology, our military, our police, to weigh us down, to disenfranchise us and persuade us that it is a lost cause. Everything is lost. When if you realize the amount of effort, resources, and things that they are doing to keep this system in place, you have to understand that just by going out there in the streets, like what I've been recently doing and trying to do more of, but my time is very limited, is going out to people and even non-whites and talking to them, because the majority of people out there are well aware that something is terribly wrong with our society, that the news media's lies, constantly lies. And like, for example, even when they use the Black Lives Matter movement, yes, there's an alarming amount of blacks that think this way, but there is a lot of blacks out there that do not fall along that line of Black Lives Matter or other movements. And it's the same thing as to what they propagate as to what whites think towards the non-whites, as to how they're racist, evil, supremacists. But we already know that whites are always trying to do everything in their power to elevate the non-whites within our societies by saying that we're not racist and all this stuff. And there is other people that you talked to before, like Jesse Lee Peterson and others, as to how they literally know that white supremacy is not in place. And I'm digressing from the talking points, and I'll leave that for a different thing. No,
that's quite all right. What we'll do is we'll bring on some of the other callers we've got here, and then we'll keep going around with some different ideas. And We'll try to keep the time fair for everyone, but let's try to keep it on track with some of the larger ideas. Though if you do have new information to add, yeah, you're more than welcome. I think this next caller is Raleigh, then we're going to get to the unknown. Raleigh, welcome.
It is very interesting that we're in the 100-year mark of the Bolshevik Revolution. I don't know if you guys have read the report on the Hill. The FCC will gut net neutrality during the holiday season while we're all full on turkey and open up Christmas presents. They're making a plan to gut net neutrality. The Hill reports rolling back net neutrality is essential to free internet in the future. Can you believe that, Kyle?
Well, you know, whoa, that sounds a little bit too loud right now. How's the sound coming through here? I was being told in the chat I was a little too low before. Now I'm sounding very loud to myself. I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, hopefully people can look into this a little bit more. I was very alarmed when I saw just, early last year, about the control of ICANN being transferred over to international authorities. And you know, really, we've had this all in place for quite some time. Early on in the Trump campaign, when he's talking about wanting to shut down the internet, talked to Bill Gates about how to close up the internet. It has been a long time coming, and they have really been threatened by the amount of truth that has been propagated through the internet. It is really becoming difficult for them to weave their narratives now. And that's why they have to put out the different counter narratives as well, as we've seen with Las Vegas. And they have their various shills in place for actually providing the counter narrative to everything that we see going on. And it's just the old Hegelian dialectic that they're always putting forward with the end goal of shutting up and shutting down the Goyim, who are getting a little too uppity for themselves. And this is an ongoing process, and they're not going to try to do it all in one fell swoop, but chisel away, boil the Pepe frog in the pot, and he thinks he's just taking a nice little jacuzzi bath. Let's bring on this unknown caller here. Okay, better now. Thank you, everyone in the chat. I like getting my levels just set just fine. Okay, bring in the unknown caller. Unknown caller, welcome. Who's this? Hello, unknown caller. How about this? We'll come back to the unknown caller in just a little bit. We'll go back to Bill here and see what he has to say. We've got a lot of different current event stories we could talk about, but I want to get each of the participants to really bring forward what they feel is important to discuss tonight. I've already put out some ideas about working together to put our will out into the world and how we need to really consider this idea of will and the power importance of will. Hey, Bill, that's a name that derives from will. What do you have to say about this?
Oh boy. I don't really have a whole lot on that matter, unfortunately.
Now, give a dissertation on Nietzsche's view of the will. I totally gave you time to prepare for this discussion now. Yeah, I didn't know what we'd be discussing until just, you know, a few minutes before the show tonight. So yeah, it doesn't need to be about will or anything like that.
Well, I can definitely say that I wanted to actually add on something with Raleigh. I mean, it's something that we're all pretty much aware of now. I mean, especially the Renegade audience, when Donald Trump just stood up talking about how freedom of speech was stupid or something.
Foolish people.
He was talking about censoring the internet. What was that?
He said foolish people. Some people say freedom of speech. Those are foolish people.
Yes, those are foolish people indeed, and I don't honestly think Donald Trump has wavered from that opinion, because all politicians more or less fall in line lockstep with the agenda. So maybe, if anything, this is probably the time in which such actions will occur. I mean, things are ramping up, we're having lots of, the terrorist attacks are getting bigger and bigger, the political atmosphere of America is getting very, very divisive. You got the extreme left and the extreme right, and lots of it, I'm sure, is very contrived, like everything on the media, but they'll continue to push it until people believe that these extremes are real and that there's real anger and violence, and this will probably be used to help bring about internet censorship. In fact, that's probably what all of these attacks are really culminating towards. I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing about Las Vegas was really nothing more than just to probably get extra x-ray devices or metal detectors inside casinos or something like that. But it's like what you said, it's little steps. Mm-hmm. These huge events, but just to achieve little things, but that's how they're going to do it. They have plenty of time on their hand to reshape society, and they know it's going to take a lot to get get people to accept their agenda. So
it's pronounced huge events for little steps.
Okay. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not sure what to expect or what to really know what will happen if or when hardcore internet censorship occurs, like what's happening in England and other parts of Europe, where if you just go on and look out National Action Party, it's an extremist group. That has yet to happen in America, but when it does, I'm not sure how we will react, but I'm sure something will happen. I'm sure someone will find a workaround to some extent. But
I think that's the purpose of the alt-right right now, is to give the justification to shut down all of us online. We recently had Dangerous Dickie causing a state of emergency here in Florida because he was giving a speech at a college. And, after the event, these three white supremacists started shooting at the crowd. They didn't hit anybody, but, we have to believe it because the news said so. They started shooting into the crowd, yes. And, we had Charlottesville before, and it's just the Dangerous Dickie Bolshevik parade going on here.
Hmm. So I have not heard that. Did that happen today or yesterday, that these alt-right extremists were shooting? And you mean shooting guns?
Yes. Supposedly these three white supremacists were in some kind of confrontation. I think they were shooting from their car. So again, we've got the car coming into play. I think that white people should not be able to drive cars. That's why we've got these Israeli automated cars that can take people around. White people should not be able to have guns or cars. We just cannot use, or freedom of speech. We just cannot use them properly. Yeah, so let's just get rid of the amendments. You know, like the
right,
the first, the second, the fourth, fifth. They're irrelevant. Just a piece of paper.
Right. Those were designed and written up long ago by Americans that had no idea of automated gunfire or any of that sort. This is not applicable to modern. We need to revise it, make something new.
They were white supremacists. White supremacists wrote the Constitution and Bill of Rights, so they're irrelevant. Why should we obey what they had to say? They were slave owners, just absolute awful people.
And, well, actually, you know, funny enough, many of our founding fathers were. Think of them what you want, and I don't necessarily have the most respect for them, but their own personal opinions on race, many of them were, in fact, white supremacists to some degree.
Yes.
But California has made great strides towards bringing about automated vehicles. They drive around all the time in the Bay Area, and I think there was a bill passed in the I forget what it's called, but it's paving the way for America's probably going to be, California will probably be one of the first states to have full use of automated vehicles.
You know, California has recently broken through quite a few other barriers with the passage of the bill that allows for people to infect each other with AIDS freely, and I guess it's only a misdemeanor, no longer a felony. If you've got AIDS and you just give somebody else AIDS, you know, that's just the San Francisco way, San Francisco treat up there. You've got all this other stuff. If you misgender a tranny, you can be fined $1,500 or something like that. Maybe you'll even be thrown in jail eventually. A lot of this is being pushed through by this Wiener, this state senator named Wiener, and of course Jerry Brown. And it's just despicable what's going on out there. But this is just going on across the country. I'm sure everybody's seen the image of the tranny freak clown that was at the Michelle Obama Library in Long Island, wearing this all this makeup and demonic looking, with the horns coming out of its head. And these horns were essentially, How do you describe this? Bloody pointed phalluses coming out of this tranny's head, reading to children. This was, you know, it was like Little Hot Mess, Miss Little Hot Mess, I've talked about this before. People know about that reading at the library in New York City. It's like that meets Pennywise from It, you know, the It movie by Stephen King. This world is just so sick. Our enemies are imposing their demented will upon us, and a lot of people are just so weak-willed that they won't even stand up and say it's wrong. Because if you say that is wrong, that a tranny freak clown with bloody phalluses on its head that's bad for children, then you're a hater, you should be fired, you know, you are the outcast. That freak is not the outcast. That is welcomed in with open arms. You're the problem. So people are just too weak-willed, so they go along with the mass insanity. It's very, very disappointing. Let's Let's jump over to the Veganaire, get back to Raleigh here. See if Veganaire has anything to add about the tranny freaks' will and the shutting down of any dissent.
Oh, I got a lot of things to talk about what you guys just got done talking about. But first, I want to say this. That slogan, chaos out of order. That is exactly what these Jews are doing. No, like
order out of chaos. Flags,
they will go to extreme measures to create as much chaos and destruction as possible. Because what is it doing to harm them? Nothing. It harms us. And of course, on the back end of that, as you're saying, they use lies and, you know, all this stuff to take away our rights and freedoms, to say that this is justification to, let's say, you know, ban bump stocks. And then next it will be to ban this. It's a slippery slope because it comes down to the same thing of tolerance. You need to tolerate this. Oh, well, we need to do this. We need to do that. Oh, now we need to put in more x-ray machines, metal detectors, install the police state, you know, just militarize the police and all this stuff. And people, you know, just actually start begging for it and ask for it. And they don't realize that it's going to be used at us, not, you know, to protect ourselves or from terrorism of foreign nations. No, terrorism is our government because they control it. And then with the internet, we have to remember how they're restricting the internet. What Raleigh said, how they're doing this during the holidays, is because that is when football, basketball, the festivities are going on. So people are going to be distracted. And especially during like Christmas holidays and stuff, that is when the politicians in Congress are always passing like the most intrusive, invasive, and destructive policies towards, you know, this country. And of course, it flies under the radar because the news media outlets are not going to expose this or talk about this because they don't want you to know about it. Instead, they're going to sit there, focus on the Super Bowl or whatever spectator sport out there, and then get into the alt-right Richard Spencer at UF. I don't know if you know this, but UF has the largest Jewish student population out of all colleges, supposedly. And it's just kind of ironic when you've seen that staged event with the white guy dressed up as a neo-Nazi with the swastikas, posing with blacks, handshakes, and then, you know, they did their staged event where you got punched, and this is what you're supposed to do to a Nazi is punch them and all this crazy crap. And I think – and well, it's not what I think. I know this was another staged event because, first off, this was on a weekday. If they really wanted to get a big event with spectators out there, like just regular general population, they would have done it on a weekend. But they wanted to get the college students and people who, you know, are part of that staged media events and stuff to go out there and do their thing for the stunts and the psyops and the media outlets. And we've seen that full effect. It goes to the same thing. It's just a waste of time. And people need to just ignore Richard Spencer. And the funny thing is that his supporters, there wasn't a very large audience for him out there. So maybe people are catching on.
The khaki crew was there, you know, the white polos and the khakis. Now,
yeah.
It reminds me a whole lot of Skokie, the March on Skokie. This was organized by Frank Collin of the American Nazi Party in the, when was that? Early 80s? Or was that late 70s? I think it was early 80s. And this was a community that was had a lot of so-called Holocaust survivors in it. And that's where he chose to have this massive march. It turned out that Frank Collin was actually Frank Cohen, and he was a child molester, and he was arrested. And he was Jewish. Yeah, of course, Cohen. So a Jewish child molester leading the Nazis for a march on Skokie. Well, you look at Richard Spencer's Jewish heritage and his connections to the Bush family and all of the other things that we've discussed on this network, and I don't want to focus on him too much other than just to make that comparison, and hopefully enough people – well, actually, I know that enough people will come to understand the real situation with the alt-right if they have not already done so. I think that there really are – very desperate, and the media is going to do whatever they can to continue to paint Richard Spencer, a very unlikable person who does not represent our values and our talking points at all, or not very well. He offers the controlled opposition lines. Yeah, they are going to keep him as the big spokesperson for white identity, and this is for obvious reasons. And of course, none of these people ever call out the Jewish problem. No, in fact, Richard's just begging for the ability for white people to act like Jews. Some people say he's just trying to expose the double standard, but the amount of Judeo-nationalism or philo-Semitism that has been displayed within the alt-right is just, it doesn't need to be discussed anymore. The Bolsheviks are definitely having a field day, and they are, well, fielding both teams at this point. That is what you have with some of these big clashes. You've got the Bolsheviks of the right against the Bolsheviks of the left, and the people on the right, unfortunately, don't understand that they're being led by Bolsheviks, at least not many of them. Yeah, it's a different kind. Anyway, this is, I think, something just to get us distracted. It's important, but there's very little we can do about stopping this show, the charade, the parade, the dangerous Dickie parade that is going on here. Raleigh,
and
oh, go ahead. Veganator than Raleigh. I got
two more minutes. And it goes back to the same thing. It's Gentiles fighting Gentiles from that aspect, as, you know, the Bolshevik left, Bolshevik right. And then the last thing I want to say is about California. That is like literally the Weimar Republic. It is a diverse hellhole. Whites are the minority there. And these Jews are literally pushing everything as fast as possible in California. And California is like the template for what is going to be passed on to all the other states, because that is literally what has been going on. Tolerance of LGBTQ, now LGBTQ all over this place. And then, you know, this new passing of HIV AIDS aspect and driving cars, it's coming. Like what goes on in California is the template for all the rest of the states in the United States. So, and that's all I just want to say, and, you know, go there.
State enforced homosexuality. Yeah. It's pretty much already here. Raleigh, what's going on?
Scott Wiener just legalized passing on AIDS, huh? It's very interesting since he has his own pizza chain. I just want to say also,
What's the name of it? And could you speak up just a little bit?
Scott Wiener Pizza.
Scott, that's really his pizza chain. I did not know this. Yeah, he goes out in the BDSM outfits with the leather out there marching in the streets with these BDSM freaks, bare chested with the leather straps. Disgusting.
Yeah. And second point I want to make is, like, I do not trust the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation because of their chief senior advisor is Bob Erm's son, Richard Erm. And I've been muscled by boxing promoters before. It is no fun. It is no laughing matter. And if the guy's from the same stock and he's anyway involved with the censoring of internet, it's not good at all. You know, there's not going to be any fun on the internet, guys. YouTube videos are going to be confined to makeup tutorials and cat videos. There's not going to be any fun, and it's going to happen when we're all fat on turkey and opening up Christmas presents and softened up like the Federal Reserve being passed.
Mm. Well, we certainly have a lot coming up here. Our enemy is showing their hand quite openly, it looks like, though perhaps we need to be thinking about what the other hand is doing. That's often how they play their tricks. You're over here focusing on one thing, and then, whoop, the magic happens with the other hand. And so that's why I don't always like to get too deep into things like Las Vegas or even Harvey, Hurricane Harvey or Harvey Weinstein. Oh, an interesting thing coming out about Hurricane Harvey, the actual weather flooding that hit Texas. It looks like, and this has been verified, the town of Dickinson, or it's a city, the city of Dickinson, Texas, which got hit hard by Harvey, for the people of Dickinson to be able to collect their government money, which I don't even think it's government money. I think it was money that was donated for for the victims, right? They can't get it without signing on and saying that they support Israel. Essentially, that they won't BDS Israel. They won't be part of any boycott of Israel. Now, this is something that I've heard other people say for in a number of different ways that this is now becoming enforced. Somebody sent me, I think it was a government contract in a certain state. I'm not going to be too specific about this, where to do business with this state as a contractor, you had to agree to this, that you would not boycott Israel. Wow. This seems like a very desperate move, though. So in order to get some government contracts, you cannot boycott Israel. And in order to get any kind of money from the government here as a Hurricane Harvey victim, well, you've got to say, I won't boycott Israel. I love Israel. Thanks, Jews. You're our greatest ally. Now, the government of Texas had just previously put through this anti-BDS legislation as well, and they're pushing through all sorts of legislation in the Congress right now concerning anti-Semitism and BDS. It's just disgusting, and a lot of the controlled opposition is in order to make this seem legitimate. The controlled opposition, white nationalists and whatnot, their purpose, even whether they know it or not, is to get this legislation passed so that the persecution of people like us is actually legal. It's already being done, but that it will then have legal backing. Oh, it is. It's a dire situation. However, it's a good sign, in my opinion. It shows that they are desperate, that the cat is out of the bag, and they really don't know how to put it back in. So what I'd like to do, instead of just having to call on people and have it be a little bit too restrained and unnatural, I'm going to sit back a little bit here and let you guys on the call sort it out, jump in whenever you'd like to add something. So somebody take it away.
All right, I'll take it away. I'll jump straight to it. I would definitely say that what you mentioned is absolutely appropriate. You know, the overall conflict that we have with the I kind of think of it as kosher nationalism versus communism, but either way, they're both being manipulated by the same puppeteer. Well, you know what? If this were up to me, and if I'm allowed to just kind of take things away just a little bit, I would actually want to try and ask you here sitting at the round table, if you could, what would be your idealized society? What is it about your society that you would want to emphasize and that you would place value in that in modern society we don't? Because I think it's all too often in society that I think everything about what we do is so corrupt, is so wrong, it is backwards. It's because now, since Kyle has passed the torch, I would like to now try to do this. Can I ask you, Veganator? Are you there? Mute you? Nope. Okay, so I'll start with myself. Now, for me, I think that society that we have is something that bothers me about what I would say America, just modern day consumerism, Jewish society, is I am disgusted with the way women are treated. I think it's appalling that we live in a patriarchal society, which is just a hearken to Judaism, because within the Torah, they really, when you examine Judaism, women are nothing but second-class citizens, if even that. They are oftentimes, I would say, comparable to beasts, because when they are menstruating, they are unclean. There was a really good article that was put on Renegade Tribune not long ago that was mentioning this. But that's one of the major problems we have, is this imbalance where we have pretty much, we just have men or a very elite group of men governing society, and we have women that have no say in anything. And I think I think a reaction to some people is maybe we want to tip the scales a little bit. You know, we always can bounce back and forth between extremes, but we need to find that balance where women and men need to see themselves as equal, and we can, you know, we can help, I would say, shape society appropriately.
But what you're saying runs counter to everything that the alt-right and people like Black Pigeon Speaks have been saying, where they're saying that the reason that we're in the predicament we're in right now is because women have had far too much say, that they are so overrepresented and they don't belong in any kind of sphere outside of just being barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. So you're saying...
So says them.
Yes. So... Yeah, please just kind of further your thoughts on this as to perhaps the role of CIA Jewish feminism and how that has what role that's played in this gender war that has gotten us all caught up. We're talking about focus, the amount of fighting over gender roles and gender this and that, and even just all the gender identities. It's gotten us very much, you know, distracted from Jews on so many different occasions. The people who are ruling over us, it's not okay. Yes, Janet Yellen is a woman and she is in charge of the Federal Reserve. But the key component is not that she's a woman; it's that she's a Jew.
Yep, she's a part of the tribe. And when it comes to the Jews, and you can, and, you know. Think of what you want of them, and I think very lowly of them, but they are tribalists. When push comes to shove, their greatest power is that they will always come together, whether they are secular or non-secular, or whatever it is their viewpoints. Even half-Jews, to a degree, serve a role within what it is that they do. But that is the biggest problem that we face. And I just to deviate for just a moment, but I'm always surprised by this type of behavior that they can that they just seem to have. It seems instinctive, and it's, I think, a lot of people, when trying to discuss the Jewish problem, we jump to the conclusion of, or people want to talk about the good Jew. You know, we want to talk about the Bobby Fishers, the Brother Nathaniels, and others. You know, it's not a lot.
It's hard to even try to count them on your hand.
I'm struggling right now. I'm trying to think, okay, how many can I get? Can I come up with five?
I've just got one middle finger up, basically. Yeah.
Right. I get to about that point and I'm done. Now, but the problem is, what I've seen with people is that they get to that level and then they want to stop. They want to hesitate and say, well, you know what? We can't be too angry at them. We can't be too upset. Because there are some good Jews in the crowds. Look at them. They want to expose it. But here is the issue. I would say the good Jew as a archetype is decent enough if you're trying to deprogram someone and try to help them understand the Jewish problem. But if you're, I mean that only if you're holding your hands. If you're going to throw bombs at people, you're going to throw truth bombs, don't use the good Jew, because people get hooked up on it. But if you're going to guide them by the hands, use it with some success. But the thing is that the goal is you want to drive the stake into the heart of the beast, and it is Judaism. And too many people, when they get that there, and it's like, what do you have to do? This is what we need to do to help make a better change. They hesitate because there might be a good Jew standing in the way. They don't want to throw that all out because they don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. They perceive it to be a baby, but it's all bathwater, and it needs to be gotten rid of. And that's the thing that you have to be callous on. You have to understand, no, we have to take it out. And if there's a good Jew who gets in the way, then that's just how it has to be. But you have to put the beast down.
Well, they have all these programs at colleges. You know, the problem with whiteness, Whiteness History Month. Why can't we just outwardly talk about how we're seeking to destroy Jewishness?
Right. Well, you can't, and that is pretty funny because you know they. because they own academia, they practically own everything that really matters. It's interesting how they, in all their books and all of their literature, they always perceive themselves as the greatest victims of everything. Doesn't matter. It can be the victims of Rome, the victims of Babylon, the victims of Egypt, the victim of the Nazis. They're such a persecuted peoples. They could never, they have so little power. How could they possibly be racist? How could they possibly be the victimizers? And if you ever call them out on their Jewishness, of course, well, then at that point, they're just white people now. They're just a race. Whatever, you know, whatever they need to suit their purposes. Hey, you know, I have a ask a moment. I see that the Veganator unmuted himself. Do you have something to say?
Oh, I got a lot of things to say. So when you're asking me earlier about, you know, like patriarchy, how us white males are treating our women, you have to understand, or I should say this to set up the context. My statements and my viewpoints don't always go along with the majority of people. Like, for example, patriarchy is what rules a society. Men, like going off of biological features, men are supposed to dominate and protect their people, period. Go out, do wars, protect their people. And the woman is supposed to nurture the children and, you know, build the family home unit, stuff like that. But going off of this, you have to understand that we live in a Jewish patriarchy, not a white male patriarchy. And under this Jewish male patriarchy, they don't give a shit what they do to destroy the bonds between male and female relationships here in white European homelands and societies. But they will do everything in their power to try to preserve that in Israel, in their ethno state. And of course, when you look at Israel, they have a lot of things that they put in place, like, you know, no race mixing, miscegenation. And, you know, even though they live this dysfunctional, destructive lifestyle, they emulate that, but they try to protect that, to keep that racial purity. And like
they
what you're saying,
Ethiopians.
Oh, and going off of the other thing too, like, we all know that feminism was brought forth by Jews in order to radicalize women to hate men as to how they're oppressed, that they're disenfranchised, and that, you know what, you need to get into the workforce and work. And, you know, you can see what's going on nowadays as to how all women are, you know, in the workforce. And this gives them a crazy, you know, power structure for them as to how, like, for example, in dating and relationships, now they judge men by how much money that you make. And like women nowadays are getting incentives and advantages over men so that they make more money than men, job opportunities than men do. And it's harder for men to compete on this level. Like, for example, whites, you know, we are disenfranchised and oppressed on so many different levels. And this was all done by design with intent to destroy, you know, the male and female relationships, to pit us against each other. And then on the back end of feminism, you could say the men's rights, MGTOW, pickup artists, and all these guys have came into play. And from this, it just creates more chaos and dysfunction between the male and female relationships. And with the alt-right, the one thing, and, you know, these groups, they, and like, you know, Daily Stormer, they love to go off of this aspect as to how white women are responsible for all these problems. And then white women will say, no, it's white men that are responsible. It just, it serves the Jewish interest. It's destroying Gentiles because we're pitted up against each other, fighting each other, instead of saying, look, who is the root that's causing all these problems? It's the Jew. And then going off of the notion as to how, oh, we got to find that one good Jew. There's good Jews out there. No, that's just another justification and reasoning as to how not all. When everybody else, all these other non-white Europeans, will classify us as all. They don't differentiate from the good whites from the bad whites. And especially when it comes to Jews, they will not differentiate the good goy unless you're a Shabbos goy. But still, in the end, they will destroy you because you are not Jewish. And they just use you for their bidding. And once they're done with you, they destroy you, period. They don't care. They will use anybody for their advantage to get their agenda going and to fulfill that agenda. So going off of this notion as to how there's good Jews or good blacks and all this stuff, it's just a way of justifying as to for why they should be in our homelands and societies when none of them, especially Jews, should be in our movements or our societies or anything, because all these problems have stemmed from Jews. Case in point, they can go to their own ethno state, their own place, and be out of our problem. they don't like, because that's is because they are like Eustace Mollison's book, The Biological Jew. They will do everything in their power to parasitize off of us, to lead us astray and destroy us, period. It's always comes down to the Jew. And they always, like what you said before, as to how they always perpetuate this eternal victimhood, that it's never them. It's always others that are racist and discriminate towards them, anti-Semitism, when it comes down to those 109 countries or areas that they have been purged from. It makes no sense as to how, if these people were anti-Semitic, why would they allow Jews to come into their homelands and societies and then get rich off of them? And then when, you know, it's because people understand and realize their behavior, what they do, their actions, which warrants them to be anti-Semitic towards them. And even that notion of anti-Semitism is a ridiculous word, because you never hear that for anti-white or anti-anything. Like, it's totally acceptable to be anti-white. It's encouraged and promoted. And it comes down to the same thing as to how we whites are not ruling in our homelands and societies. We are under a Jewish patriarchy. And you have to understand this too, to further go on this aspect, as to how, like, we're talking about the flow of information, the education system, the news media outlets, Hollywood. This is pro, and of course, the music industry, they use these things to brainwash and program the young. Because, as I mentioned earlier, as to how they got the woman out of the house and into the job, well, who is educating our children nowadays? Who's instilling the morals, the values, history to the children, the textbooks, the education system, which is also being written by Jews, and the lies? Like, we already know, Holocaust is always talked about in schools constantly, but you'll never hear about the Holodomor. You'll always hear lies about our past. And it goes to the same thing. We are up against this Jewish male patriarchy system. And if we could just, you know, it's a uphill battle, but we cannot stray away or feel that it's a lost cause, because as we see now, people are starting to mass awake through the internet, because the internet is literally the last stronghold of freedom of information. People don't have to watch the news anymore, the mainstream news. People are looking onto YouTube videos, different people that will tell them the truth, and they're doing everything in their power to restrict and destroy that flow of real news, real information, and other news media outlets like yours, Kyle, because they know that they have to go this far to control the opposition and dissent from their programming and brainwashing. It's they're trying to cull the population, cull the message. And, you know, by the time when, because in the future this is going to happen, they will blow the lid and let chaos and destruction ensue in this country. And what is that going to do again? It's going to go after goy versus goy, or goy or Gentiles versus non-whites, but not up against the Jew, because we are always constantly pitting against each other, male and female relationships and everything else. And that is the one thing that we have to expose and put out there in the mainstream media. And like, I made videos constantly about how MGTOW is not the solution, because they always say that, hey, we just have to wait for our societies to collapse, crumble, and be destroyed. And people, like even the alt-right, white nationalists and stuff, say that, oh, this is a good thing. We need to wait for that. Like the book, The Siege. It's like, you don't understand. The notion that they put in Hollywood movies is that hope is what keeps us going, and that somebody out there will lead us into the future, into the goodness. It's like, no, you have to understand, it is you yourself that has to do this. You have to become a leader, like, because all the people that are presented to you as leaders are not leaders for your interests, wants, and needs. They'll lead you to a certain distance, but they won't lead you to the root source or give you something effective to stop the problem. Like, I mean, I don't have to go into the alt-right and stuff, which we did earlier, but it's the same thing. You have to take matters into your own hands. You have to be proactive. You have to start putting in action, because as you were talking about earlier, we are all links in a major chain. We all have to work as one together and start working for the best of our interest. And that is one thing that Jews do not want. They are doing everything to dissuade, or I don't know if that's a word, but to persuade you not to do that, to disenfranchise you and destroy that bonding and unifying of our people, such as the male-female relationships, everything else. And that's pretty much all I want to add on to that aspect of that motion. And it's like we need to take control back of our institutions, our government, our military, our money, news media outlets and stuff. And that is the one thing that they will not allow us to overthrow by arguing, bickering back and forth, or trying to debate with our enemy. Meanwhile, on the back end, they're doing everything through violence, force, intimidation, and instilling fear into you, like their color revolutions, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, punch a Nazi, perpetuating through the video games as to how, you know, Wolfenstein, this is a good thing, don't, or make America Nazi free or something like that. And then how they're putting out these contracts as to how you cannot boycott Israel. They're doing they're so desperate. They're at their last stand of controlling things. And like they're showing their true colors. Like people out there are waking up as to how it's Jews, like the Harvey Weinstein aspect, Hollywood. You could just bring this up to anybody you're talking to. Hey, you see that Harvey Weinstein? Man, Hollywood is controlled and dominated by Jews. This is their common practice. We all, and Hugh Hefner, Playboy, sex icon. It's like the same thing. These Jews are promoting and pushing this degenerate, dysfunctional sexual aspect in the music industry, Hollywood, porn. And I mean, you just break into any of these things and get people to awaken this to how it's not white Europeans. And even when it comes to the male and female relationship, look at what porn has done to destroy the male-female relationship, especially in dating relationships.
It's instilling a Jewish mindset into the goyim of how to treat women, how to treat yourself. I've dealt with Jews in my past, and they are very, very degenerate, and they want everybody else to be degenerate as well. And they want for, well, essentially it's a jealousy, because they know that they would never be able to compete with any kind of real Aryan men in terms of, really openly with anything, but especially for women. Come on, really, a Harvey Weinstein? When would he ever be able to woo a woman if he didn't have all this money and influence and power? So he essentially hates himself because he's a sleazy Jew, and he hates the women because they're willing to sell out for the money, and he hates the Aryan men because they make him look like a shameful piece of shit. Okay, we have much more to come. Stay tuned, everyone.
Wanted to be a pickup artist? Need those extra shekels? Well, join Juba. Juba, with their Jewish partners, the Italian Coast Guard and other NGOs, are recruiting now. We require sea taxi transporters to pick up Negroes out of the Mediterranean. The more bodies, the greater the pay. No sat-nav required. It is a one-way fare, and that is northwards to Europe. So join Juba today. Let's increase white genocide and make those shekels on the side. Juba, the transportation company.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting. Welcome back to the Renegade Roundtable. This is your little bit exhausted host for the night, Kyle Hunt. I haven't gotten all that much sleep this weekend, but I'm going to power through. I'm going to have the will to conquer. Really, that's what it's about. Have you ever experienced a project where you lose all of the work you've done? You spent all these hours, and for some reason the thing breaks, or you didn't save your file, or your hard drive crashes. Well, I've had this happen to me many times, and you want to put a hole through your wall, you want to smash things, you want to just quit and say, well, I give up, screw it. Well, as you know, this network has been around for 5 years, and I have not yet just taken my toys and gone home, or smashed like the Hulk would like to. So, that shows that having some will and determination is, well, essential if you want to be effective and continue into the future indefinitely. You really have to have a strong will, because there are going to be so many different things that get in your way and try to drag you down. And please, if you ever do get in that situation where you lose all of your work, don't just quit and say no. Do it again. It's not going to be as hard the second time, and actually will often be a better product. I've done this with papers. I've done this with all sorts of things where everything you just worked for, gone. You have to start over from scratch. Just do it. Just do it and do it well. Have the will to see things through to completion. Before the break, we were talking a bit about some issues related to the Harvey Weinstein disgusting scenario. And, of course, this is probably put out there as some kind of distraction, take us away from other important things that are going on. Or some people think it's because of Las Vegas, and all of the narratives were unraveling with that, so they threw Harvey under the bus. And listen, the big story is that the Jews who run Hollywood are raping children, so yes, this is a kind of a distraction. Oh, look, Harvey Weinstein and the casting couch. How long have we known about the casting couch? Come on. And there are people out there who are spinning this. Of course, Black Pigeon Speaks is out there, actually, it seems, defending Harvey Weinstein. Not surprising, a co-ethnic. He's out there basically saying, oh, look at these hypocritic women. These women are just, they took these favors from Harvey, now they're turning against him. And Ramsey Paul is doing the same kind of crap. And what they're really trying to do with this is turn it into an argument between misogyny and feminism. Misogyny on one side and feminism on the other. What are you going to be on the side of the feminists of like Rose McGowan? No, this is just yet another example of Jew versus Gentile. That article in Tablet Mag really laid it out quite clearly, this Jewy perviness. We always need to keep focused, to keep the eyes on the ball and not drop the winning pass here. We need to use everything that they throw against us to our advantage, like judo. We need to use judo against the Jews. It's very, very obvious. But we also need to use our own initiative. We can't always be reacting to what they're doing. That's why I don't always like to do current events type shows. Okay, as I said before the break, I don't want to keep this as a very restricted kind of roundtable. I like the contributors that we have here tonight, but I did want to first throw it back to Bill if he had any responses to what Veganator said, and then I do want to bring Raleigh back into this conversation as well to see what he would like to add.
I most certainly do. Thank you, Veganator. That was pretty great. You touched on a lot of great things. I want to say, yes, you're absolutely correct. The problem is that we are living in a Jewish patriarchy, and that is unfortunate. That is the only patriarchy. That is the only type of Jewish society. And I definitely will do a show talking a little bit about how Jews see the world at some time. Now, Kyle mentioned this as well, and this is very, very appropriate. The thing that I find interesting about Jews and their unique type of tribalism is just how exactly they work together to achieve great things. Such a small group can do a lot. Now, granted, I think in general, white people and Aryans, we are very trusting, and at times I think we can be a little foolish, a little too trusting of other people. But I would like to state that, understand that our fate, this is something that was stated perfectly by the heathen vegan, that our fates are tied to our people. We are not an island here. As much as we would like to be, as much as we would like to remove ourselves from the equation because we see ourselves as maybe above it, we don't want to get involved in the muck of trying to help people. But the fact of the matter is, we have to, because our people are there. And like he said, we are tied to them. And if they falter, if they fail, if they are destroyed, so are we. And that is the burden. But understand, and this, most people understand this. Most people are not that crazy where they're hyper-individualists, where they just want to be a monument unto themselves. But people want leadership. If anything, that's what we want. The majority of humans want leadership. They want that person to stand up and take the initiative, and they will fall in line. Now, it'll probably take some time, and you have to find the right people. And that's going to be the hardest part, is, you know, a place like in California and in many other places, that seems like a very difficult thing because we live in very racially and culturally diverse neighborhoods, where such an idea of, where, you know, in a place where not English isn't even typically a first language to many people, but not everything is like the Bay Area, not everything is like Los Angeles or New York City, but there are plenty of places where the seeds can be sown and where you can try to get people. But an aspect of Jewish power and Jewish influence really does, I believe, come from their money system. It's kind of like what Kyle mentioned, and it's absolutely true. If Jews didn't run the banks, if they didn't print the money, or if they weren't the goldsmiths, or they weren't dealing in diamonds, it's pretty comical to think that these people wouldn't stand a snowball's chance in hell trying to make it in society. They are generally so unpleasant, disgusting, slimy individuals like Weinstein. And Weinstein is actually just a very common archetype. I really don't think there's anything special with Weinstein than any other Jew in Hollywood. It's just that he's just being paraded around on television for us to get distracted by. But if it wasn't for the money and the influence he was given, then this guy would be nothing special. But that's how they do it. And that's how they get by doing nothing, printing that damn money.
And, you know, Bill, it's with that money that they're able to come at us. And it's not because that they themselves are so strong. I mean, even if we were just to physically line up our best versus their best in any kind of competition, such as fighting, and we can bring in Raleigh about this, who would win? Come on, just look at the athletes over the years. You can, who was it, Sandy Koufax? You know, you've got a few. Just like with the good Jews you can name, let's talk about the excellent athletes that are Jewish that you could name. It would be on one hand, probably.
Even if you tried to line up, like, great Jewish philosophers, I would to hear the list.
Artists?
Legitimate good ones.
Actual artists?
Yeah, that too. Can I see the good Jewish artists out there? I I am waiting to be impressed, but I don't expect that anytime soon. But it's interesting because Jews don't need to be the artists. All they have to do is be the art appraisers.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get a couple little, you know, squiggly lines on a canvas and it's worth millions of dollars.
But
it's almost disappointing that I can't do that. Why can't I have that power? I want to be able to go to the bank, offer them this drawing of a spider, and say, "This is, I value this spider at exactly my debts. Can you please pay? Can we please get this resolved?"
You know, it's just infuriating, because if we were to actually go toe-to-toe against them in any kind of open, fair competition, even if it was just a debate, we'd own them. If it was a fight, we'd own them. But it's because they're able to sit up on top, up high, send their cash flowing down, and send our own people against us. Either, you know, just through the brainwashing, the indoctrination, or through just buying them outright, or to send the third world hordes against us. It's very, very frustrating, because all of those people are acting as a buffer, a barrier between us and the real problem, the people who are openly genociding us. And we need to break through that barrier. I'd like to do it instead of trying to all run in at once, forming a big line, and then we press against each other and we push back and forth like a, you know, a rugby scrum. No, what we need to do is learn from the Germans with the Blitzkrieg tactic to puncture a line through in one area by concentrating forces, and then just to plow through and spread out like lightning and take over territory very, very rapidly. That's the way we need to be thinking. Not as this long struggle we're pushing back and forth here and there, and oh, it's a multi-generational struggle. It's the women not having enough babies. If we just start having enough babies and doing nothing else, then eventually, you know, we'll be all right. What kind of defeatist thinking is that? No, we need to conquer. We need to take back right now what is ours, or else all is lost. We need to be thinking like that.
Right, and before we jump over to Raleigh, I wanted to mention that fits into willpower perfectly. You see, the magician is just an illusionist, and how do you conquer his magic? Well, you need to have the will to see past his lies, and that is what the Jew does. The Jew will throw money in your way, he'll throw these things at you, but it means nothing. You need to have the will to see through it and realize that he is really defenseless.
Yeah, well, we need to get through his defenses, whether or not some of them illusory or not. It looks like there are some serious defenses in the way when you've got Zog's military doing the bidding of the Jew for now. Let's see if that could be reprogrammed, huh? Let's see if we can install a different system in there. I think there's some potential for it, but I mean, how many good Goyim are there out there? That's the big problem. The big problem is how many good Goyim are enslaved. You know, some of them are just mind enslaved. Their minds have been enslaved by the Jew, or they're purchased mercenaries. But will they always remain loyal? That's the question. I think once some of these weaknesses become more and more apparent, I think a lot of those people will decide, hey, you know what? There's some chinks in that armor of that big beast that used to seem pretty frightening. You know, maybe it's time that there's a new king in town. Maybe that lion's gotten a little too old, and maybe this up-and-coming lion is going to have its day now. You know, that's a possibility. Who's to say that new lion's going to be any better? So let's be that lion, right? That's the only solution. We've got to be that force. We've got to have the will to make things right, to see these injustices undone. Well, to see justice come trotting back into town. How about that in the Wild West, Bill? I like it. Well, let's go to Raleigh, see what he has to say.
I just want to tell you that the mark of the predator, you know, we talked about a lion being the apex predator, his eyes forward. The gazelle has his eyes to the side, so when it's grazing grass, it could see the predator coming. But the apex predator looks forward and onward. When it comes to non-competitive martial arts, Krav Maga takes the crown jewel from it. There is no way in hell that any of those Krav Maga fighters would ever step in a cage or do competitive fighting, but they get mass media attention claiming that they have the overarching solution to every martial arts situation. When are they ever going to be put to the test? They remind me of Steven Seagal, who claims that he's half Japanese and half Italian, but he's actually 100% Jewish, and he takes credit for non-speaking English MMA fighters such as Anderson Silva saying, "I taught him that front kick." There's no way to put him to the test. It just reminds me of Krav Maga, and it is absolutely ridiculous. And guys, when it comes to Black Pigeon Speaks, take that guy with a major grain of salt, because he said the Illuminati is run by George Soros only, and he's a one-man Illuminati team.
Oh.
Guys, there's a whole labyrinth of these guys.
Raleigh, I'm glad you brought this up. George Soros is essentially the Harvey Weinstein, of a different scenario here. Essentially, we have this dialectic being set up by many people. People within the alt-right, people such as Alex Jones, also this Austrian politician. Have you heard about this guy? The youngest politician, his name is Sebastian Kurz, and he is the new savior of Europe, essentially. And the reason he is because he's siding with Netanyahu against the George Soros leftists. Oh yeah, this guy was shilling hard for Israel. And we had Alex Jones recently talking about, he's remained neutral on Israel, is how he framed it. But he's making every single excuse in the book for Israel and putting forth the proposition that if you are trying to do the right thing, you've got to stand up against the Jew, well, against people like George Soros. He doesn't point out that he's a Jew. And in doing so, you've got to be with the reasonable people who understand, you know, complex issues and understand the threat of Muslims, like Bibi Netanyahu. So the dialectic is now, if you're either on the left with George Soros or on the right with Bibi Netanyahu and the Zog Emperor and Sheldon Adelson and whatnot. And as you pointed out, it's essentially you could be on the left with Bob Arum or you could be on the right with Sheldon Adelson. How about neither? Thanks.
Bill O'Reilly, when he was getting ousted for his sexual offenses that I'll go on to later, he actually blamed his ousting on George Soros. So anything that Alex Jones has to say on this issue is absolutely irrelevant. There was a Fox contributor who was in the bar with Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly said, "Hey, why don't you come with me to the back room with me?" And she said, "No, Bill, you know, we're both married, we're middle-aged, you know, can we just sit and have drinks?" He kept on and on, and she had to leave the bar, and he chased her down the highway, or not the highway, but the hallway, and said, "Don't you know who the hell I am? I'm Bill O'Reilly." And da, 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 da. He had a conniption fit, right? Next day, she was fired from Fox News. Do you think that's because of George Soros? Come on, man.
It probably was. George Soros, basically, he is the New World Order. He's the eye at the top of the pyramid. That's the way that these people are really framing the issue. And yes, I understand. You look at George Soros, and he's essentially behind everything that is wrong. He's connected into everything. He is kind of like that octopus. But he's being held out as this scapegoat, this fall guy. It should be pretty obvious by now. I did think it was interesting that his investment company had put down a $42 million put option on MGM Resorts, you know, and that's right before the Mandalay Bay shooting. And of course, the CEO, Murren, had sold his stock shortly before. It's just like 9/11. But no, nobody's really investigating these things. Of course, they still can't even get their story straight about what this security guard, Jesus, risen from the dead Jesus, going on Ellen, looking all fat. Oh, the whole story is so stupid. But, yeah, George Soros, behind it all. George Soros did everything.
Absolutely incredible that Black Pigeon would actually suggest that. I've also watched another YouTube video where he suggests that women shouldn't be able to shave their pubic hairs or get their asses waxed to be bleached to get rid of their poop stains. I mean, barefooted and naked only, no opinion whatsoever. I mean, when it comes to these guys and Daily Storm, you know, I go by fraternity rules. If you're scaring away the women, you're out of the party.
Yeah, that's a pretty good rule. No, but I'm the Uber male over here. No, dude, you're just an asshole. Get out of here.
I was absolutely offended when he suggested that we should rape white women, especially being a father, which is something that none of these guys seem to be able to do.
Oh, it's because it's the women's fault that they're not able to find a partner. That's why they
all
hate women so much.
All you gotta do is talk to them nice. I mean, that's really all you gotta do. Don't have to have a shit ton of money. I mean, I'm an MMA fighter, for God's sakes, and I'm married, you know?
Talk to them nice. That goes against the rules of game. You gotta treat them like they're absolute garbage, man. That's how you score. That's how you get the notches on your belt.
Want to be treated like dirt.
Hey, we've got a new caller here. Let's bring him on. Tom in Canada, welcome.
Hello. Yeah, thank you. I literally just called in, so I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
All right, Tom. So how about you just jump in whenever you're ready, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Okay, anybody else want to add to this before we get on some other subjects here? Yeah, George Soros, Alex Jones, the shilling controlled opposition, and the blaming of women for the problems that Jews have created. Basically, you could blame anybody but the Jews. Oh, it's Black Lives Matter. It's SJWs, but it's never the JWSs, is it?
Hey, real quick, because I think the Veganator is probably going to... It'll be great. It'll be fine. It's great, Veganator. I like it, but I just have 2 minutes tops.
It's okay. Go on. Okay. You're right.
Okay. So, yeah, George Soros, man, this guy, he is like the real boogeyman of the New World Order, and a bunch of kosher nationalists and libertarians love calling this guy out as the great evil. Also, it's this whole thing about George Soros and his Nazi connections. Also plays a big role how everyone loves to just, you know, make this guy out as something evil. Oh, that he's a Jew, but he sold out Jews to the Nazis. He is the most evil man alive, and he has millions and millions of dollars. Millions.
He's probably a Sonderkommando shoving the Jews into the ovens and just loving it every single second. That's
right,
how evil
right.
he
if
is.
If there's any evidence that the Nazis were controlled by Jews, it's George Soros. It proven, hands down, that Nazis are Jews. And I think I was going to say something about women, but I kind of forgot.
All right, I bet we have Veganair chomping at the bit here, right?
Alrighty. So one thing I want to state up front as to what Bill just stated there as to how George Soros was funding the Nazis and stuff. Like, one thing people have to understand is that Jews will not be afraid to lose some Jews in this battle in order to genocide hundreds of millions of Gentiles. Like, seriously, if they destroy 1,000 Jews, they don't care. To get at 100 million Gentiles, like, that is a huge win for them. But getting back to talking points as to what you guys talked about earlier is, like, for example, money. Money is the biggest incentivizer for their policies and agendas that they want to put forth in our societies. And when it comes to our money, it is their most powerful aspect because they made the money worthless. It's not backed up by any hard, tangible resources. But on the back end of that, what it is a usury system that where you are enslaved trying to make that money by putting in productive work, which goes to benefit them. And then, as we already know, a lot of our money, wealth, resources, and technology is going to Israel. And then I made some video series about the Asian invasion problem we are having. Like, for example, our information technology and resources is going to China, to where they are being propagated to an elevated level, which they could not achieve, such as their economy and military power, which will be used against us because the anti-American, which is white European Americans, is being propagated in China as to how, because the world is watching everything that America does, and they don't believe in that bullshit about America is a nation of non-white European immigrants coming in here. No, they think of America as white Europeans, and they are watching as to how we are going into foreign countries, destabilizing and destroying their countries under the guise of democracy and all this stuff. But they aren't differentiating as to how it's Jewish controlled, because they are also under Jewish communism control. And the media outlets is doing the same thing. They are propagating us against them while they are using their proxies to destroy their biggest enemy, which is us. And the one thing I have to state also is that I don't think an economic collapse is going to come until the end game, till they're ready for the end game, because Jews have learned that when they do an economic collapse, that is when Gentiles, we unite as one and fight back and purge the Jews, like what happened in World War II, period. So they keep perpetuating this, you know, economic collapse, doom and gloom aspect, but they aren't going to do that, because then by that time, they, if the money's worthless, who is going to be following their agenda, the incentives of flooding non-whites in here, and then our, you know, notion of equality at the expense of us to propagate their birth rates and everything else? So I don't think they're going to do the economic collapse until like the end game, until they're absolutely 100% sure and ready to drop that on us, because then that would be the race war and everything else. But the biggest aspect with the money is that they take control of all of our institutions, our organizations, and use it against us. And then on the back end of that, since the money is worthless, if some type of organization or whatever comes into play, and this falls along the same thing as how people will say that the free market is the way to destroy capitalism. It's like, no, it does not, because you're not focusing on the money, the Federal Reserve. Who controls the printing of this worthless money? It's Jews. So if something comes into the free market that is in opposition to their control, they have an unlimited amount of money to print to buy that out, like what they did to YouTube. They bought YouTube like 10 times the amount it was worth, like 10 or 20 years ago, whenever it came out into the market. And the reason why they did that was because they know that this is a major aspect for flow of information and that they can control it, like Google. They control Google, all these things. They have an unlimited amount of money to buy it up and then use it against us. And then the talking point about athletes, are people, you know, comparing it or comparing us against Jews at full frontal assaults and stuff. You have to understand this too, that the athletes of our day and era, these are the best, strongest, and brightest of our people, which the Jews have been intentionally, by design and purpose, bottlenecking and destroying the best, strongest, and brightest of our people for centuries now and decades, especially through the last past decades, especially after World War II. They intentionally destroy the leaders, the reactionaries of our people, the smartest of our people, because they are the ones that are a threat to their Jewish structure. So they destroy them first, and then on the back end of that, they breed the dumbest and worst of our people, and they bring out the worst and like evilest, vilest behaviors of our people, encourage and promote it also. And so when you think about it, if we were freed from this Jewish parasite, like, for example, when the National Socialists were free, the people were so much happier, stronger, healthier. The procreation of the best and brightest of our people were coming forth. But nowadays, the best and brightest of our people can barely afford to have one or even two children, which kind of makes you think about how, like, what if, you know, our people were free from this Jewish parasite? How, like, vastly different our future would be, our people would be. But, you know, this is a doom and gloom situation we are in. And then what Raleigh was talking about, the fighter aspect, like the Krav Maga, MMA stuff, you're spot on there. And like, for example, the Black Pigeon Speaks, I don't watch that guy. Like I made rebuttal videos towards him about like white women or women destroy civilizations. And I know you talked about that too, Kyle. It goes to the same thing. He's a Jew and he is not going to call out Jews are the problems for destroying Western civilization. It goes back to the same thing, pitting the male and female relationships, putting blame on the people who absolutely have no power within our societies. Like, for example, why would women allow non-white or white women allow non-white invaders and foreigners of cultures and societies where they treat women like shit, rape them, and, you know, do all this crazy stuff to them. It makes absolutely no sense, but that's what the information that they're going to propagate and put to the masses out is how women want to be treated like shit. They want to be denigrated, humiliated, enslaved. No, they don't. Like, it's utter madness. And even like what Raleigh was saying as to how if men are scaring women away from the party, well, you're out of the party. And that's how it should be, because without the white woman, we are not able to bring forth white children. And it falls along the same thing as to the 14 words. You have to think about that aspect. We need to create a future for white children and homeland, all that stuff. And as far as, you know, Black Pigeon Speaks blaming George Soros, Kyle, you were spot on. This is just another scapegoat for a Fallout guy to blame everything on him when this guy is pretty much almost on his deathbed. It doesn't matter if he was destroyed, because there is so many Jews and his son will fall in line to replace him, like the Rockefeller, that one guy that died at like 101 years old a couple years ago. People were cheering it on like, yes, we're making success, we're making changes. It's like, no, you are not. You are waiting for these guys to die off, which is not a good mindset to have, because we don't have time on our side to wait for them to die off. And it does absolutely nothing by sitting by to destroy their power structure. Instead, by sitting by and waiting for them to die actually increases their power structure and hold over us, because we cannot sit by, try to remain neutral and not, you know, get into this. No, we're all being put in this situation and we have to act. If you are neutral, you are going to die. You are going to be trampled and stomped over. And then on the aspect of this, what Black Pigeon Speaks, like, you have to understand, if he was really speaking permanent information that would be useful for the masses, his channel would not be around. His channel would be terminated, censored, silenced. But it goes along the same thing as to how these people are presented to you, as to how they're giving you information that will help you out, when in reality, he is leading you off the path as to who is the problem. Because George Soros, you could say, let's just say he is the only one pushing forth these agendas. You have to understand that underneath him, he has his generals, his sergeants, his enforcers carrying this out. And it's on a need-to-know basis. And most of them are Jews. And how, like what you're talking about, Harvey Weinstein and all these other Jews, how did they get their money? How did they get their positions of power? Through the Jews' control of money. The money is worthless. It's unaccounted for. They will print up as much money as possible to throw at whatever agenda or things that they want to incentivize to perpetuate it within our societies. And it falls along what I like to call the 3 D's: dysfunctional, degenerate, and destructive ideologies, mindsets, behaviors, and lifestyles, along with agendas. Because people have to understand that we are literally being enslaved to this money system that they have created. And if you don't fall along with their agenda, their incentives, well, you're going to be cut off. You are going to be pretty much killed, because you're not able to make a living to buy food, buy housing. And they're doing everything in their power to restrict you from living off this Jewtric system, like off the grid living. They're doing everything, especially here in Florida. They will not allow you to even collect rainwater. It's utter madness.
You can't have solar panels and be disconnected from the grid. You've still got to be hooked up to the grid and get a certain percentage of your power from there. It's some kind of situation where, yeah, you're not allowed to be independent. I wanted to throw this over to Tom. I think I see him in the chat there, so he might have something to add on the show.
Not too much. Yeah, just in regards to, when the shit hits the fan scenario, I guess, I was just trying to add that, you know, I think prepping and stocking up supplies is definitely wise. However, the best asset you have is basically what you're able to accomplish on your own with dealing with the minimum. In other words, just like keeping your head calm and not losing it.
And what's in your head? What kind of knowledge do you have? Really, this is a great. This is a great.
Practical. Sorry, yeah, I would say practical skills like wilderness survival, firearm knowledge, and safety, and kind of being alert to potential dangers, and things along those lines, I'd say.
Yeah, or the, you know, with the prepping, you've got somebody who's 300 pounds, pretty much obese. He's got all this, everything stockpiled. But hey, if you can't walk a mile without being out of a breath, you've got some problems, buddy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maintaining your optimum health, and that's super important. The other thing I think people should consider is, you know, we're not all going to be these huge bulking heroes. Different people have different constitutions. Like I'm not a big guy. I'm a taller guy, but I know I'm not going to win any heavy lifting competitions, but I know that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm more of a runner, or like what's the word? Let's just say I know where my skill set is should be, and I'm not going to try and play a role that isn't applicable for who I am. So,
as much as I like lifting, I don't think out benching the Jews is going to do much for us. We've already had that one covered for a while.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Yeah, I'd.
Let's see if anybody else has anything to add about this prepping idea. I think that there's a good deal of value that could be had from it, and it's better safe than sorry, right? But I agree with Tom here. I think sometimes an overimportance is put on the things you have rather than the knowledge you have, the skills you have, the health that you have.
Well, I can definitely say about good health, and that is absolutely important, which has been awesome. A shout out to Rich for having two shows in a row talking about positive health, and for you as well, Kyle, having Small Storm on about it. It's absolutely important. I mean, I know people that have worked in the trades their entire life, and they're all about saving for retirement. They want to have the best retirement they want, but in order to save money, they'll eat McDonald's hamburgers because they're cheaper to have, or they'll, instead of having a proper meal, they'll eat a Snickers bar because it's cheap, because it's on sale. Oh, a pack of Snickers bars is on sale. I can just buy this for $1.50 and I can have my calories or something. But it seems absolutely terrible that there are these people that want to invest so much in the future, but they invest so little in themselves. And they're, and many of them are kind of, pale and out of shape, and they don't look that healthy. But hey, it does good for their bank account. Looks good on paper.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Raleigh. I just wanted to see if Raleigh's a prepper. I'm guessing not.
You know,
family.
I do weigh 300 pounds, and I'm used to having 5,000 calories per day, and I need to get past that if I'm going to survive in case the grid goes down. I act like a bear who hasn't had my porridge if I skip a meal. Even when I'm cutting weight, I'm still eating 3,000 a day. Yeah, I need to learn some primitive surviving skills, guys. You guys got any ideas for me?
Well, intermittent fasting is very good for you. And this is something that will really be good conditioning for, potentially a future scenario in which you'd rather have your children eat if you can do all right yourself without food for a little while. Yeah, you need to maintain your optimal condition, but, humans are actually quite incredible. We don't need to eat all that much, and we can still be quite efficient. Without a good meal, we need a lot of water. We definitely need water more than we need food. But we can go without food for quite some time. And it is a really important thing for healing. If people can go without food for a little while. There's also juice fasting. I've done some shows on that. People should check that out. So just learning to starting by skipping a meal here and there. Your hunger will definitely crop up, but it's your willpower that must kick through. Now, if you actually go on an extended fast, day two, I'm going to say this, everybody, day two, your energy level will be down through the basement floor, and you'll be very tired. I'd recommend not driving a car. Definitely drink a lot of, if you're doing the juice fast, drink a lot of juice with a lot of calories in it. But you get past it, and then you stop actually feeling hungry. Something people should check out, a lot of research that backs this up. We have a caller calling in. It is an unknown caller. I'm hoping it's Urban Jungle Girl, because I know she has something that she could add about prepping. Is it Urban or somebody else?
Well, unfortunately, it had to be pretty urban, but I'm not a jungle girl, so sorry to disappoint you there, Kyle, but I just wanted to call in and say I'm into information prepping. I do agree with the sentiment that at some point they're going to be shutting down the networks, and as we've seen with the recent spate of removing so-called Holocaust revisionist books from Amazon, they're going to be getting rid of all the good stuff, all the David Lane books, the Frank Raymonds, all of our prophets. So I think it's imperative that we do some information prepping, which of course includes downloading and saving to disc many of the best Renegade shows.
Well, yeah, people need to not just do that, though. They've got to save it to their hard drive in their head. That's actually what happens at the end of Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury,
right?
Made into the film.
The human books are all reciting their chosen books, right? Great ending and everything. I don't know how practical that is. And the problem I see with that is the propaganda machine is so powerful that they'll simply just effectively discredit the spoken word, although that served us pretty well in the past as heathens. But yeah, point well taken. And yeah, I'm a big Urban Jungle Girl fan, you know. I didn't mean to imply that I was, and I love her calls too.
Maybe coax her into calling in if she's still awake. So, all right, we put out the call for an Urban Girl.
Pick up the Friday Slack as a host. That'd be a real dream host, I think, for your network.
Yeah, I don't know if she's up for that, but if she ever wants to do a wild card here, she's more than welcome. I should get her back on my own show sometime in the near future as well.
Yeah, I love that Bobby Fischer wild card you just did. That's a great one to use, you know, because here you have this half-Jewish man, undisputably ultra-brilliant chess master of all time, and he's just telling it straight like it is, that Jews run the world, they're inherently parasitic, they're destroying the best elements of humanity. I mean, talk about a great source. These are the liberals' nightmares, guys like Bobby Fischer and Frank Raymond. So I use them quite heavily, even though I believe our best prophet is David Lane. I mean, his books, unparalleled. The collected writings of David Lane on Amazon.
I don't know. I used to be a fan. Looking back at in retrospect, I don't know about quite a bit of it. You know, KD Rebel. It's kind of the whole It's basically the prototype for white Sharia. Is just kidnap the white women and bring them into the woods for you.
I'll tell you what, Kyle. I just reread KD Rebel, and I don't get that impression at all. it doesn't at all have the Daily Storm or anti-woman flavor to it.
No, it just makes it look much better. It's the kind of the Hollywood version of it.
You know, everything exists in context. Those particular women who were abducted in KD Rebel were drug-addicted strippers being raped and exploited by a Jewish stripper. Owner. I mean, it was the right thing for them to do to abduct those women. What would you have them do? Let them continue to be used and abused until death?
I don't know. I just think you could probably write about better things than that. I also have a lot of criticisms of Pierce's work as well. I just don't think... Well... It's definitely a different time they were in back then. I've come to question a lot of the leadership that has been out there for quite some time, because
we all have to filter things through our own experiences, and you and I are not going to see eye to eye on everything. I think you're a great spokesperson, probably the best living spokesperson for our cause, and I'm not compliment trolling or any such mad mental construction. It's simply my observations over time, particularly your performance on the Tom Hartman show. You completely crushed that silly little parasite, and that's why they won't have you back.
Yeah, they don't want you to push forward your agenda. They want you always just to be responding to their stupid questions that don't go anywhere.
Right.
Well, how did you become a white supremacist? Problem that...
Thing. When they gave you a little bit of room, you just kept going. I mean, you took the offense, which is what's essential here. We can't play defense anymore. And this is what was so fantastic about The Order and David Lane and Bob Matthews. Yeah, it's easy to criticize it now. And I don't think violence is the answer right now. I think it is more of an information push that's necessary. However, all that information that we're going on, all those William Pierce broadcasts that opened our eyes, guess what that was funded by, my friend? That $4.1 million the order liberated from those armored trucks bearing the Jews' loot from one holding cell to another, that was liberated and given to Dr. Pierce.
Now,
heck do you think he got his money, my friend?
The question is how he was allowed to keep it. It was very obvious. Everyone knew that. And obviously the FBI and all the different other alphabet organizations knew that as well. I don't know. What did he spend it on? He spent it on Resistance Records and crappy music. He spent it on developing a stupid shoot 'em up first-person video game that he thought was so great called Ethnic Cleansing. It was squandered, in my opinion.
The thing is, though, what we're going on, the reason we know what we know is because of guys like that. I mean, there's no disputing that. It's very easy in hindsight to criticize, but I'm not going to, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak.
Yeah, but anyway, come on, with the amount of good broadcasts that William Pierce did for his followers, to come out with Ethnic Cleansing as a video game and to think this was a real coup, that this was going to be the way forward by developing first-person shooters where you just go... I mean, it's kind of entertaining looking at, you could look up YouTube videos of the gameplay, but seriously, it's basically trying to engage in the same kind of degenerate culture that our enemies are putting forth. Same thing with Resistance Records and the skinhead type music. It's just, it won't get us anywhere. And people still putting forth Tom Metzger as the great guy to look towards for leadership and guidance. Yeah, where did he guide the movement? Oh, down to Mexico with his Jewish lawyer to meet up with his prostitute, as people probably have seen in Louis versus the Nazis.
In that footage, he was also criticizing that guy for going to Mexico and hooking up with
He went down there with him wearing his cowboy hat, getting absolutely hammered in Mexico while his Jewish lawyer, who used to represent what Pablo Escobar, was looking for his hooker. People need to watch this one. It also features April Gady and Lamb and Lynx and the whole scene back then. I feel sorry for those little girls, what they were brought up into. And another thing about Lane that really just kind of, well, ruins it for me is the recorded conversations between David Lane and April. And David's just talking about those two girls, you know, my fantasy sweethearts, he calls them, you know, while he's inside jail, lusting after these two young girls. It's sick.
That's a bit problematic. But then again, you know, if we're looking for perfection in each other, ask somebody. It is.
I know, but do we really?
You got to look at the total context. He had been in jail for how many decades? I'm sure that had a very negative effect on his. On many aspects of his mentality. So, you know, I'm not going to knock the guy. I'm just not going to knock him. You're free to, and I think you do a great job, and I can only leave it at that, my friend.
All right, Frank. Well, I think sometimes we don't need heroes. I don't want to be anybody's hero out here. And when people have heroes over ideals, then I think it's problematic. I think people need to start being their own hero, not just looking to figures from the past or from the present as well.
Well, that is not going to happen. They need heroes. It's absolutely essential.
Well, and
if they don't have them, there's going to be a vacuum that you know who is going to fill.
And here's the question: you know, should we let people have heroes who are flawed? Who should we let them have their little fantasy, their illusion of a great person when we know that they're not?
It's the only kind of human being that's ever existed.
Well, I'm certainly flawed, but I wouldn't want for after my death for people just to have this complete illusion about who I was to paint me as maybe I do. Maybe that's what I do want, but let's just brush over all those spotty parts and let's not bring up that history about him. Okay, I understand that. Listen, we're kind of running out of time here on the roundtable. We do have another caller we're going to get to. Frank, do you want to stay on? I might be able to get to your final thoughts here after I get through everybody else.
I'll hang out for a bit, okay. But if I have to go early, you know, take no offense at it.
Okay.
It's a great show.
Okay, we just got a few minutes here. Tennessee, welcome. Who's this? Tennessee. Okay, we'll go back to Tennessee. We'll start, we've got quite a few people to get through here. We'll start with Bill, we'll get to Veganator, we'll get to Raleigh, we'll get to Tom, and we'll try to get back to Tennessee, and then after that we can try to get back to Frank as well. Okay, Bill, go for it.
Hey, awesome. Hey, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good, Frank. I like that. I like the exchange between you and Kyle. Unfortunately, I have to say, I think it just seems to be a human proclivity that we desire leadership, like it or not, want the position or not. Eventually, someone will do it. People will want it, and people will insert on them the values they want to see. And all humans are flawed, and that's the problem. And that's the most difficult part, is trying to see if you can get past that. So, in much respect, that's kind of why I like mythical figures a little bit more, because at that phase, they can truly be the idealized version of what you want them to be.
I like that. That's a good point.
And so with that, they can just be that effigy. They can be that totem, that paragon of virtue that you want. But that's the hard part, is generally we want to take things to a more human level, and we end up creating deities of people, and then we end up associating them with things that they may never have done, or what say you?
Or Martin Luther King, the beast as a saint. You know, I don't want that same kind of thing happening with the white cause. I'm not claiming that David Lane was doing the same kind of things that Martin Luther King was doing, but you understand where I'm getting with this, where you
exactly.
don't.
That, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay. Well. Bill, I'm going to try to get in everybody else here with their final thoughts. I want to thank you for being with us here the whole time, and looking forward to your upcoming show later this week.
Thank you.
All right, Veganator.
Great point, Bill. And yes, we do need leaders because leaders leave the movement. And not to talk about that, but I just want to say this, to never give up, because I want to mention this earlier, never give up. We always have to be on the offensive. And yes, like, for example, me, there's times when, you know, I fall short, I get depressed, but I will never give up. And it falls along this one little clip I want to play of 300, no retreat, no surrender. This is Spartan law, which should motivate you all to be warriors. So,
children, gather around. No retreat, no surrender. That is Spartan law. And by Spartan law, we will stand and fight and die. A new age. An age of freedom. And oh no, the 300 Spartans gave their last breath to defend it.
And this is how we have to think, because we literally are in a battle for life and death here. And like the National Socialists, we are in an all-out war. We have to literally sacrifice ourselves in order to give a better future for our people. And I'll just end it right there.
Well, we need to win this time. That's what needs to happen. Okay, Raleigh.
I just want to say that Bobby Fischer is not a dead issue. I got things on Bobby Fischer that will make Tex Mars' jaw drop, that he, his brother-in-law, invented the FM laser. You guys are talking about laser beams in California set the fires. His brother-in-law invented that and coined the phrase remote viewing. This needs to be researched and divulged to the public about Bobby Fischer. I got excellent, excellent intel on it. And I actually, Harvey Weinstein is not a dead issue either.
Well, Raleigh, if you could find somebody who would like to do a show with you, or if you wanted to present it yourself, we've got the Friday night slot open at 8 p.m., so I think you might want to consider that coming up.
Can you give me a call about it, and I'll just leave it at that?
Yeah, we'll talk soon. I've been very, very busy here, hence why I'm so tired. Okay. Hopefully we will hear from Raleigh about those things in the near future here. Tom, what's going on with you? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, Veganator, Bill, Kyle, and Rolly, and everyone who's called in, well spoken tonight. I'll just end this with a quote from Adolf Hitler. The most valuable possession you have is your race and your folk. So I think we should do our utmost to protect and nourish and grow our people. I'll just leave it on that. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you very much. We didn't get to Tennessee, but hey, I hope you all enjoyed the roundtable here tonight, and we'll be back with so much more. My show is coming up tomorrow night. Stay tuned, everyone.
Fallen on hard times, need cash, sick of waiting tables? Here at the Juilliard School of Drama, we can make all your hopes and dreams come true. Sign up for our 33-week course and we will teach you how to laugh mid-sentence when describing how your friend was blown into 6 million pieces, how to move too soon before any shots or explosions are even heard, the lost art of driving into people but having your truck stay nice and clean, the correct posture when crouching over a dummy so your ID card doesn't cause neck strain. Sign up today and we guarantee weekly acting jobs with the CIA, FEMA, MI5, even Mossad! Scholarships and bursaries available for war veteran amputees and illegal immigrants. Juilliard School of Drama. We even supply the tomato sauce and dead chickens.